Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. I'm not the most organized person in the world. Some of you may know that. Jeffrey may have a keen understanding of that. I have this sinking feeling that I'm supposed to speak to some group at lunch today. It's not the group that you helped me connect, Jeffrey. But like they're on my schedule. It says Dental Society, but I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
I have another dental thing in February.
I will admit that tweet last night sent a flare up.
If I'm speaking to your group today at lunch, get in touch with me because I've forgotten where you are. There, that's the public service announcement. Today on the show, Jonah Jordan and Drew Hill are going to roll here in a minute, and we will talk about the James Wiseman case. We're going to have Steve White in the second hour because last week we canceled them because there was breaking James Wiseman news. And we are going to basically talk about James Wiseman for all of the show except for a wonderful, and I look forward to it, Steve White break. When we might actually talk about James Wiseman and Colin Kaepernick and the NFL as well. But otherwise, we've cleared the decks. We've got Jonah Jordan. We've got Drew Hill. We've got Steve White in the second hour. And you've got you telling me where I'm supposed to be for lunch. And don't try to tell me like one person did on Twitter last night that I was supposed to be over making breakfast for them and giving their kids breakfast and getting them off to school. I'm not falling for that one. But anyway. Let me just say a few things about...
Is going to have to ring a bell. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what I was supposed to do.
No, I will believe it.
Right, but it's going to have to ring a bell.
I absolutely believe it if I see it. It's on my calendar, but it's nowhere else. It's not in my emails. It's not in... Okay. I'm going to say a few things about this James Wiseman situation, and then there's some audio I want you to hear from last night after the game. Precious Chua and DJ Jeffries talking about it. And also Jay Williams has weighed in on it. Some audio I want you to hear as well. So stay tuned for that. But I want to start with this. The NCAA is suspending James Wiseman for 12 games because what they call recruiting inducements. That's what they call them. Recruiting inducements. That's the $11,500. At the time that James Wiseman's mother got the quote-unquote recruiting inducements, Penny Hardaway was the coach at East High School. He was not the coach at the University of Memphis. There was, in fact, in no way, shape, or form that those were recruiting inducements to go to the University of Memphis. So what did the NCAA do? The NCAA said, well, they looked at this like, no, Penny's a booster. And because he gave $1 million to the university, so we're going to call him a booster. And he's just like any other booster who brought James Wiseman to town, and he subsequently ended up at the university. And in fact, if, for example, he had been Joe Smith, and Joe Smith had just mysteriously, with no connection to anything except the University of Memphis, or Alan Graf, or whomever. Like, if he had paid to move James Wiseman here And then he ended up at the University of Memphis, you would have said, okay, there may have been a year removed in terms of the move from Nashville to Memphis. But it's pretty clear. He's getting money from a booster. The money is so he will go to the University of Memphis. And it doesn't matter that he played a year at high school before he went to the University of Memphis. Alan Graf's a booster, and he paid the money to get him to Memphis. And that's clearly an – that's what that money was for. Alan Graf is – wants him to go to Memphis. And that's how they that's why booster matters here, is because they need Penny to be a booster for the connection to matter, because he was, it clearly wasn't as a coach. And if it were Alan Graf or Brad Martin or whomever else, then I'd say, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That, what other reason would there be for James Wiseman to come here to Memphis, paid for by Alan Graf, or except for that he would ultimately end up at Memphis? Except, of course, we know the reason. The reason is Penny was the coach at East. That was an inducement. It was an inducement to go to East. And indeed, it had nothing to do with the University of Memphis, to such an extent that had he, Penny, never been the head coach at the University of Memphis, at the time he was going to Kentucky, even though he came and played for East. Everybody knew he was going to Kentucky. Penny had no interest in him going to play for Tubby Smith. It was not in any sense of the word a recruiting inducement. It simply wasn't. It was a recruiting inducement to go to East. And the reason I bring that up is here on the morning after this punishment is handed down, at least on this show, I want to make sure that the focus is on the NCAA and the irrationality and vindictiveness of the NCAA. The NCAA started working on this case in January. In May, they notified the University of Memphis and James Wiseman that he was eligible to play. At the time, they knew of the $11,500. They then reopened the case, had additional interviews, and hours before the first game ruled that he was, quote-unquote, likely ineligible, their own words, likely ineligible to play. At the time, they did not say he's going to have to sit out 3 games or 6 games or 9 games. There's a fiction out there that we knew it was going to be 9 games. We don't know it was going to be 9 games. We don't actually know that they ever would have made a decision by now. They certainly haven't on Isaiah Stokes. Unlike the criminal justice system, if you are charged with murder, you absolutely know what the plea bargain is. Do I plea bargain, take the deal, or do I not? Here the deal is sit. And we'll tell you later. And so James Wiseman decided to sue. Now, I will grant here that decision came down on his head yesterday. The decision to sue yesterday came down on his head yesterday. Absolutely. I will absolutely grant that. It did. But the question is the person to blame James Wiseman and the university? Is that should be the emphasis of our anger today? Or should be the emphasis of the anger be on the NCAA? There is this idea that if Memphis had simply cooperated, hey, just cooperate, everything will be fine. I refer you to 2008. Memphis cooperated. Memphis did everything. Memphis didn't put up a fuss. Memphis didn't challenge. Memphis said, hey, here's all the information. Memphis didn't file lawsuits. Memphis didn't do anything. And the NCAA said, oh, you didn't know about Derrick Rose's ACT? You didn't know that, and we, by the way, certified him to be able to play? And so that's why you played him? Well, screw you and your Channel 4. You can't put up the banner. And all those games didn't happen. That's what happened when Memphis cooperated. Missouri football just had an academic scandal. Said, you know what we got to do? We got to come clean with the NCAA. Absolutely came clean with the NCAA. Did everything possible. Indeed, in their disposition of it, the NCAA said, cited Missouri for exemplary behavior, exemplary cooperation.
That's the term.
Exemplary cooperation. Memphis did not exhibit exemplary cooperation. James Wiseman did not exhibit exemplary cooperation. And what happened in Missouri? Missouri got absolutely crushed. And now they're appealing. So this idea that if you simply cooperate, everything will be great, flies in direct conflict with what we know about the NCAA and certainly what we know about Memphis's relationship with the NCAA. Here's how it works. If you don't cooperate, if you cooperate, they can crush you. If you don't cooperate, they can crush you and say, see what happens when you don't cooperate. And that is the system that we are trying to defend, or that people are trying to make sense of. There's no question that when they brought a lawsuit, and we raised it at the time, seems bold, to say the least. Bold, to say the least. And lots of people said this may not work out. We don't know what would have happened had they not sued. We simply don't. It could be like Isaiah Stokes. We could be sitting here and waiting to hear about James Wiseman. They could have gotten all year. We don't know. Everyone says it's going to be 9 games. We don't know that. Everyone said Missouri, because they cooperated, was going to get a light punishment. And then you know what happened? The whole world was stunned when Missouri got absolutely hammered. I think everyone would have said that since Memphis knew nothing about Derrick Rose, Memphis wouldn't get stripped of that because of Derrick Rose. Happened anyway. But my main focus is this. Yes, it's very clear that Memphis is now facing a crisis because of the NCAA. But let's make sure we keep our emphasis on who the villain is here. To me, and some of you may say this is a little bit overwrought, you remember Tiananmen Square, don't you, Jeffrey?
Of course, like it was yesterday.
Yes. Man walks out in front of the tanks.
Yes.
He has not been seen from again.
Yes.
So, is the response to that to say, stupid idiot, should have known better? Or is the response to say this is a jackboot country and government that runs over their own citizens, and maybe we should blame the people in the tanks and people who run the tanks?
The latter.
That would be my contention. I suppose once upon a time, again, you may think this is overwrought, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Probably wasn't smart to walk across that Edmund Pettus Bridge, because there were cops there with dogs and fire hoses.
They'd been warned.
Stupid. Told you so. Ha, look what happened to you. Told you so. And is it overwrought? Yes, it's overwrought. They are not the same. But let's be clear. The NCAA is an organization of white men who get rich as hell off of black men. And if they get $11,500, by God, they're going to sit while Mark Emmert gets $4 million. And so James Wiseman, Penny, and the NCAA and the University of Memphis, all in a moment of frustration, fury, indignation, protest, did what they did. And honestly, it's somewhat framed by experience. Who am I to say? Guy gets pulled over by a car. He's an African American cop. He's an African American. He runs. Gets shot in the back. Hey, you should have just cooperated. Do you see what normally happens? Do you see how we're treated normally, oftentimes? Really? You're telling me to cooperate? You, in your privilege and riches? Easy for me to say. I'm just not going to be the person to tell the University of Memphis, which has been treated the way it has been treated by the NCAA, which is a jackboot organization, that they should have cooperated. Even though, pretty clearly from the disposition here, the NCAA is, they're the tank rolling over the guy in Tiananmen Square. That's what they are. They're the tank rolling over the dude in Tiananmen Square. I'm not going to applaud the tank. I'll let that. Others can applaud the tank. All right. So I do want to. I do think it's a. Well, let's go to the audio first. Let's go to some audio first to break the mood here. We have two bits of audio. This is Jay Williams, who has weighed on this and wants to start a GoFundMe for James Wiseman.
Here's a call to action. I need your help. James Wiseman needs your help. Now, the fact that the NCAA has suspended this young man for 11 games and he also has to pay back $11,500 to a charity is atrocious. I've watched it happen countless times throughout my time doing TV and playing, and that's why I'm using my platform to speak up about it. So since he has to pay back $11,500, but he can't get that money from friends or family because that's another NCAA violation, why don't we, the public, do it for him? My boys over at Game 7 put this together. It's a GoFundMe link. Check it out. It's in my bio. Let's help James Wiseman get a chance to actually fulfill his dream and play for a short stint in college basketball.
Okay, it's a nice sentiment. I can't believe that's legal. Do you? Can you? Like, would Jay Williams... Like,
that has to be an impermissible benefit,
you would
it?
Think it has to be an impermissible benefit. Okay, so first of all, what do we know about the $11,500? He's got to pay it to a charity of his choice?
So Seth Greenberg weighed in on this. The repayment for eligibility. He can create a payment plan based on a four-year schedule, even though he's a one-and-done. Plan has to be in place
I would say he'll be able to pay that off early.
I would.
You would think he could put together this payment plan. He'd probably be able to pay it off early.
When does the season end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he can pay it off then. Plan has to be in place prior to playing, but no payments have to be made. Usually the first payment to show good faith.
All right. What if it's to the University of Memphis? I'm just curious. Like, can he do it to anybody? Can he pay? Can it literally be to anybody?
That is a question above my pay grade. I would presume the only stipulation is it has to be a 501c3.
Right. He could play it to Daily Memphian. We got his back in the. I got his back in the.
I mean,
Daily
I'm
Memphian.
Sure he's already subscribing.
He's probably already subscribing. So, Daily Memphian is a nonprofit organization, 501c3. All the money that is generated for your mere $7 a month goes back into the product at the Daily Memphian. There are no profits. There's no corporate overlord to be had. It seems like this is. If people want to find, can we find that? The GoFundMe? Is the GoFundMe set up somewhere? It must be.
I believe it is linked on his Twitter page. Right. Give me.
What's
two
interesting
seconds.
is that the rank and file athletes out there have all. And did you see Patrick Mahomes even weighed in on this? Like lots of athletes weighed in on how ridiculous the NCAA is here, and I was heartened to see that. I have you doing a million things, but I do want to hear the audio. Shocking. This was. So after the game last night, Memphis prevailed. After the game last night, DJ and Precious were the players who were brought up to talk to the media. And there was one little subplot. DJ was asked, what'd you think? What happened in the first 6 minutes of the game when they fell behind dramatically? And he said, I didn't see the first 6 minutes. I was in the restroom. And then that became a subplot as Precious Achiuwa said, DJ saved us. I'm glad he got that extra weight out, etc. Like that. It became a the bathroom humor became the subplot of the entire conversation. But the other thing that happened was that these guys were asked what they thought about the Wiseman situation, and they both looked at like totally mystified, totally mystified. And then, and I give Megan all the credit in the world, she came back to this and says, you guys don't know? And this is what that sounded like.
This question's for DJ. So you guys aren't aware of the NCAA ruling?
No, ma'am. I don't know.
Are you guys interested in that?
Yeah, absolutely. What happened?
Okay. So, like James has got a 12-game suspension. What do you guys, how do you guys want to react to that?
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, crazy.
Can't wait for that to be up.
I mean,
can't wait for it to be up.
At the end of the day, I don't know if we can control that. We just going to have to play, you know, continue being a team, and just hopefully he gets back soon. We're just going to keep playing and holding down until he comes back.
When I played that for Jeffrey earlier, he said, oh, they were pulling her leg. They were not pulling anyone's leg. I will tell you that 100%. Penny later confirmed that he had not told the team. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
James is out there tweeting, you know, you can't break something that is unbreakable, right? And so he clearly knew early in the afternoon. But that's just a little bizarre that Penny wouldn't say. But it's funny, like as the game was unfolding, I sit next to Drew Hill and Mark Giannato, and Jason one seat down, and the commentary was, well, you know, they got to be rocked by the news. They're playing badly because they're badly shaken by the news.
On television, I'll tell you this: that was my impression.
Like, they didn't
know. This team looked like they got a gut punch.
They didn't know. They literally didn't know. And it was 100% clear. And Penny subsequently confirmed he had not told them. Penny was really subdued afterwards. There was some thought that he might come out firing. Like the whole strategy is going to be rally the country to get this overturned, right? He did not. He didn't. He really said there's nothing more to say. And then he had not even told his players, which I think is bizarre. But the larger, beyond this, after I move on from let's keep the focus on the NCAA and who's getting jacked around here and who the villain is, I do think this is a enormous test for the University of Memphis and for Penny Hardaway. It's a test in the short term because, listen, they're going to appeal. And the hope from that side of things is that the suspension will be cut in half, which would mean six games, which would mean you'd be back for Tennessee, which would be palatable. I will say, given the tone of things, given Pat Forty's reporting that the NCAA may be launching charging Memphis with a major rules violation for having played James Wiseman. Those tanks are rolling, baby. I don't know that they will cut it in half. The theory is, well, they cut Chase Young's in half. They should cut James's in half. Chase Young didn't go to court. And so if they are trying to send a lesson to make sure you don't come stand in front of the tank, I don't know. I think the lesson is best served. I'm trying to think of it from the fascist approach of the NCAA by not cutting that in half. Listen, I hope for everyone's sake it does get cut in half. Either way, it's an enormous challenge for Penny to win with this group. And this group is not right now a top 25 team without James Wiseman. Not even close. DJ is really good, I'll be honest. DJ is the best player on this team, except for James Wiseman. And he doesn't start, but it's remarkable. He saved them in the first half last night. DJ was tremendous. Precious had a good second half. But it's not a very good team. And if they play like they did last night, they will surely lose to Ole Miss. They will surely lose to NC State. They will surely lose to Tennessee. And they will surely lose to Georgia. And away we go. Like this, there will be, so there was damage in the short term. But the whole thing is now threatened. Because if there is a major rules violation charge, does Jalen Green want any part of that?
I mean, if history's any indicator,
recruiting suffers in the wake of NCAA uncertainty.
But with that being said, Kansas has an NOA sitting on its university desk, and they just
Arizona's recruiting. Like, I mean, it's not impossible. I just think this is a everything has gone brilliantly for Penny up till the last 2 weeks. And this is a test, and we knew there would be tests. And this may be a time when we point to this was the beginning of the end. Or it may be a time when we point to this is Penny showing that he can really do the things that are required to manage a program even through difficult times. All right, I have had my say. Jonah Jordan and Drew Hill will join me next. After that, we'll take your calls on this matter, calls and questions. We'll do that at 10 o'clock, and then we'll happily have a NFL Steve White break. It's a Jeff Conklin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Ugh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Think about where you see yourself in the future. Maybe you're bouncing a ball on the beach or bouncing a grandchild on your knee. Whatever it is, your dream is uniquely yours, which is why Trustmark Tailored Wealth works with you to understand what you want to see in your future. Together, we tailor a strategic plan to help grow, preserve, and protect what you've worked so hard to earn. So see a Trustmark Tailored Wealth advisor, because your future starts today. Learn more at Trustmark.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Shayna, a service tech at Pep Boys. It's important your vehicle is ready to get you and your family through the holidays safely. With nearly 1,000 service and tire centers nationwide, you can depend on the Pep Boys pros to keep you and your vehicle safe. And during this holiday season, Pep Boys is proud to partner with the Marine Toys for Tots program. Bring in a Toys for Tots donation to any Pep Boys and receive a text-in code for a discount off select purchases and services as a thank you for your generosity. Message and data rates may apply. Add Pep Boys to your list this holiday season and don't think twice about it.
That's the crunch of Papa John's brand new garlic parmesan crust. Fresh, never frozen original dough topped with parmesan and Papa John's famous garlic sauce. If Pavlov's dog went crazy over a bell, imagine the tizzy it'd throw over this crunch. Get a one-topping pizza with the new garlic parmesan crust for just $10. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts. Fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies. But TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
How do smart, hard-working roofing contractors keep jobs running smoothly?
They save time with Beacon. The Beacon Pro Plus app features online ordering, automated rebate tracking, and online bill pay. Choose products like high-quality CertainTeed shingles and accessories. Easily find the style, color, and quantity, and let the app do the ordering for you. With Beacon Pro Plus, order 24/7 from anywhere. You work hard, now work smarter. Download the free app at beaconproplus.com.
You've got a car to sell, so you start thinking, what, this is going to be fun? Ha! You're really thinking, what a pain. It's going to take forever. I'm going to have to haggle with dealers or handle everything myself.
It doesn't have to be that way. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a much better way to go. Hi, I'm John Clay Wolf, and working with my company, GiveMeTheVIN.com is simple, fast, and I guarantee you more money for your car. Stop placing your own ads. Stop letting dealerships rob your trade-in, and quit wasting time standing around at CarMax. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and give it a try. Just punch in your VIN number or plate number, post a few pics, and presto, you get an offer for your vehicle within seconds, and I give you more money guaranteed, or I send you a check for $100. This is smart, new, easy way to sell your vehicle for more money, and we'll come pick it up at your house or office. Take a couple of minutes and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com now.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Workplace injury, dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
And what to our wondering eyes should appear but giant James Wiseman and teammates to fear. With recruits spread all over, so spunky and many, I knew in that moment it must be Coach Penny. More hype than the others, the smoke he would flame. And he whistled and shouted and called them my name. Now Wiseman, now Ball, now Jeffries and Ellis.
92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I've got two single men in front of me, sort of single. Not single, but not married. You're not married yet.
Okay.
Two not married men yet.
That was factually inaccurate. Addie's going to be married.
Hold on. Let's where I'm going. I'm taking this.
Okay.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is the place to get your if you want to become unsingle. And I have you both here in front of me, and so I can tell you that you are closer, really weeks from the moment, Jonah. You, Drew, are a little further away from that.
A little bit further away from that moment.
But if you want a diamond ring that you can go in, you can design it yourself. And Jeffrey will tell you the end result will be beautiful and affordable. But if in the end, if Addie decides, Jonah, that, you know, you're not the guy, you can return it in a year, within a year, and get your money back. Or if Drew, your ship comes in, suddenly you are on around the horn with Drew Hill, you can take your ring back and upgrade it for an even more magnificent ring. Right now I understand you all aren't that rich. They have prices. they have a budget that anybody, you get a beautiful ring for anybody. And they will also, by the way, match any other store on GIA certified diamonds. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. This is my public service announcement to both of you and to all of you out there. Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have four convenient Memphis locations. I am joined by Jonah Jordan and Drew Hill. How's Addie going to be now, Jonah? Is it better?
Better, probably.
Better. Thank you very much.
She'd probably laugh at Drew a little bit.
She
does that quite a bit.
So, I'll just open the floor to each of you. Drew, what was your reaction to the news of yesterday?
I've thought about this a lot, actually, since yesterday, because it feels like it's been forever already.
It has been. It feels like forever.
I know.
And now it's going to be forever is the real problem.
Right.
I was going to say, get used to that, boys. I've covered one of these, and it... Oh.
It's never ending. Yeah. And so, you know, I think 12 is a lot of games. I don't necessarily think that that's fair or where it should be. In terms of what we're talking about, you know, taking $11,500, removing expenses, no doubt that's money that the family needed to move. We've talked about this. Why can't a basketball player move to a different city and play for a different coach if he's going to be the eventual number one pick where in any other profession, you could do that, and that would be perfectly fine. And I think all that is spot on, right? I just feel like now, and, you know, I don't want to divide everybody up, but on one side, you've got people who seem to be outraged at the way that all this took place. Like, you know, Memphis should have never had the lawsuit. They should have, whatever. In hindsight, this looks terrible, right? They badly misplayed their hand, as Mark Giannotto put. And then on the other side, you've got people who are outraged at the NCAA, and you've got Memphis fans who don't want to hear any other opinion other than the positive opinion. Right. And I think I fall somewhere in between those things. And I talk to you about this.
There has to be middle ground,
yeah. Like, I think that, I really do. I think, and I can't say for sure, and I know you've said earlier today, we can't say for sure. I think that maybe if they don't have the lawsuit, that it's, that I mean, of course it's possible that the penalty might not have been as bad, right?
Right.
But just, I said this to you last night, just on principle, because I see what the NCAA does over and over and over again, if there are two perceived sides, I'm not saying they are even sides, if they are perceived sides, one being the athlete and one being the NCAA, 100% of the time, I'm going to side with the athlete, just because I don't believe in the basis of the NCAA at all. And that's kind of where I stand. Like, do I think anyone's takes have been wrong?
Right.
No, but I'm not going to stand up on that side.
I want to address that first, because you're exactly right. Like, if you read my column, and if you read Mark's column, and if you read Gary's column, or if you listen to my opening and you listen to what I presume Mark's opening will be, and what Mark and Jeffrey and what Gary said yesterday, they are very different. But in the end, well, first of all, I'm friends with both of them. They're both smart people, and I like them, and I like their columns.
He said both of them.
Okay. I was talking to the two column about the two columns. And secondly, I don't really. To me, it's just a matter of emphasis. That's it. Like, I acknowledge this went badly for Memphis. They misplayed in the end strategically. It seems like it was the wrong thing to do, right? I absolutely acknowledge that by James and Memphis. It seems like strategically it was the wrong thing to do. And the truth of the matter is they both acknowledge that the NCAA is an evil-ass organization and
they're vindictive and everything else.
There was a line in Mark's column which said basically, putting aside how irrational the NCAA is, Penny should have known them to be irrational, right? That's basic. I don't have it right in front of me. That's what it said. And that's sort of, I guess, where I part ways. I'm not going to let them off the hook by just accepting the – it's just a matter of emphasis. Is the focus on, hey, we know that the NCAA is evil, so let's focus on how stupid Memphis was. Or is it, okay, we know that Memphis did something that's strategically stupid, but let's not forget this is all based on how evil the NCAA is.
None of this happens if the NCAA isn't corrupt.
Right. We know that the NCAA is irrational. Well, I want to focus on that part. Let's focus. To me, it's just literally an added emphasis. Gary, no one's been harder on the NCAA than GP over the years. He hates the NCAA. And Giannotto's the same way. So to me, it's just a matter of when you hear this news, do you wake up and say, boy, the Memphis and James are stupid, or do you say, boy, the NCAA is stupid? But we both acknowledge, I think everybody does, that strategically at this point, I don't know what would have happened. And it's very possible that James could have sat out the whole year if they didn't sue. I think the likely scenario is that he would have gotten the 9 games, but I don't know that.
Right.
He would have gotten 30%. He would have gotten 30% if he had sat out.
We don't know that.
But we can't say that for sure.
I would bet you $1 million.
What happens if they never rule?
Everybody better.
They're not going to never rule.
They can never rule.
What happens if they take longer than nine games to rule?
Let me guess you this. What would your bet have been that if Memphis had a player who was certified by the NCAA to play, they never made a finding that he didn't take the test, what would you have bet then?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think you can compare that.
What would you have bet then? Everybody knew that Missouri was going to get off easy because they cooperated. They got hammered. What everybody knows about the NCAA, nobody actually knows about the NCAA.
I think that this whole situation, I agree with Drew. I fall somewhere in the middle. I get that the NCAA is bad. I get, but I do think Memphis had, I agree. I mean, they'd misplayed their hand. This started like in January. I think this started back then, and they misplayed their hand from the beginning. I think the plan from the beginning is we just repay the money and we move forward from there. But, I mean, he got hit with the 30% plus playing an eligible player. I think that my point from the beginning—
That is no question. That is what he got after having been sued.
Yes.
But we don't know he would have gotten that before he'd been sued.
Okay. But I think that the biggest misstep that they took, and I said this at the time and people killed me for it, but whatever, I think the biggest misstep was playing him after the lawsuit. Right. I get the lawsuit that
well, that's
you
what everybody
could,
and that to the extent that, there was a mistake, that's what everybody thinks
yeah,
a mistake
and that
was.
You
just don't.
You
do
could
that.
Have done the lawsuit to help speed the process up. I understand that's why they did it. They did it to kind of kick the NCAA in the pants and get him to go in, but I don't think he should have ever played, and that's why he ended up getting those three extra games. I do think that one part of this that people won't agree with me on, I think that Penny should have probably gotten something on his own, and James should have. I think the
to be clear, Penny might get something on his own.
He
didn't get it last night. But Pat Forte's reporting, and by the way, those people who are saying that Pat is a mouthpiece, Pat is or Pat doesn't know what he's talking about, or you'll have people saying GP sources are Pat and Pat sources are GP. And let me tell you this. Everybody who's writing this is plugged in.
Yeah.
And Pat, in particularly with the NCAA,
that's why I reacted the way I did when I saw Pat's thing.
Is plugged in. Pat is plugged in. He is not making this up. Pat had that ready to go.
He literally had the punishment already in there.
All he had to do was click publish. Pat knows what's going on. And if there is a major rules violation, Penny could very well be swept up in the major rules violation. I'm agreeing with you. It is strategically, clearly, was the wrong thing to do to play him. I'm 100% agreeing with you. I'm just saying, for me, the emphasis here is not, boy, James, you're stupid, and Memphis, you're stupid. To me, because they both sued him, the emphasis is F the NCAA. That's just my emphasis on the day after. And other people wake up and say their emphasis is the Memphis is stupid. And that's fine.
Yes, and like I said, if there are two perceived sides, I'm always going to take the side of the athlete. But like Jonah.
No,
Do you not think there was a chance? Hold on.
Let him ask it his question.
Not think that there was a chance that in this entire process, you're certain that it was nine games. In this entire process, it takes longer than that for them to make a decision. Is there not a scenario where even 12 games is a win because the NCAA takes
scenario.
So long?
We don't know what the road not taken was. Everyone's assuming the game road not taken would have been nine games.
Jeffrey,
do not know that.
How long was Laramie Tunsil suspended?
Seven.
What week did they rule?
They ruled week six.
They don't do that. They don't let you just sit out. They don't do this. Like I had Saluki just tweet at me that they never rule. They never rule. They rule when it's appropriate time for them to rule. Like, they're going to rule on Missouri's bowl eligibility. They're going to wait because they're not going to give them the bowl eligibility back.
Well, even for instance, like in the Ole Miss case, the NCAA has a specific time frame in which they say within X amount of days you will receive this. You receive the letter. You have X amount of days to respond. Then we will. You present your case at the Committee of Infractions, and then within, I think it was 90 days.
They did not tell Memphis when they were. They did not give Memphis.
Yeah,
a calendar.
They didn't give them a timeline.
They did not give Memphis a calendar.
So hold on.
And by the way, for the
record, they were basically 3 weeks late when they gave Ole Miss their ruling, even after like the extreme date. So like, to Jonah's point, like they have a timeline, but they don't have to adhere to it.
Well, I'm just telling you, they did not give Memphis.
So hold
a
on. If they made decisions when they're supposed to make them, and they really started looking into this in January, they wouldn't have ruled him ineligible the day before the season. They would have actually made a decision well before
that. It's insane.
That.
That's the larger.
That's
to
insane.
Me, the larger point is this: literally hours before tip is when you make the decision. It's insane. Anyway, I want to move on. I want to move on to this question. If there is a major allegation, Drew, a major rules allegation of a major rules violation, and again, just to clarify, Pat isn't saying that they are going to launch an investigation into other things that Memphis may have done. Pat is saying that literally the act of playing him is a major rules violation. And so they didn't, for example, get the forfeit yesterday. Like, they didn't have to forfeit any of those games. That doesn't mean that's not coming as part of a major rules violation. You could have to forfeit those games. You could get a show cause on Penny. Like, I don't believe they'll get a show cause on Penny, but he could be suspended. They could be held out of postseason play next year. They could have recruiting sanctions. And then, if that happens, is this the beginning of the end of the Penny Hardaway era?
It's going to be tough.
One at a time here. Go ahead, Jonah. We are taking turns. Go ahead. Jonah is eager to tell. I was going to go Drew, but go ahead. Jonah, you go first.
I mean, I don't think this is the end of anything, but I mean, I do think that the punishment, if there are major infractions, it's going to be tough. It's going to cost him. I mean, if you get hit with a postseason ban this next year, I mean, it's going to be very, very tough to bounce back from that, but I think he has the ability to. I mean, I think they're already kind of struggling on the trail a little bit. They haven't been getting guys in this first half of the year. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think they'll probably bounce back. But what is his ability to bounce back when you have this on your back? You have a major infractions case. What if they do start an investigation into what you're doing? What if this starts to snowball a little bit? I don't know if it will be the end of Penny Hardaway, and I don't like to think that. That would be a super sad, irrational thing for this to start the end of Penny, but I think he'll end up being fine, whatever the case may be.
True.
When you say the end of the Penny Hardaway era,
yeah, well, we look
do
at
you
this
mean like he's
going to
get
wrong.
Fired?
No,
or?
Just this is okay. In 2 years it will have gone badly. He'll go off back and play golf again.
No, because I think he's too connected in the basketball world, and I think regardless, kids are going to want to come play for him. I do think that that's the case, and I don't want to go back to this again, but
right.
Going back to the ruling thing, if the NCAA ruled on time, we'd have an answer on Isaiah Stokes too, right? I mean,
yep,
still. But here's
my thing with the Isaiah Stokes thing. Do we know for 100% certainty that his waiver has been handled correctly? Because that wasn't the case with Lance Thomas last year. People can get mad at the NCAA for the Lance Thomas thing, but his waiver was not put in time. It was put in 2 weeks before the season, if that. Like, they were leaving practice one day, and they're like, we forgot to do this.
If there's uncertainty, he wants to point the finger at the Memphis and as opposed to the NCAA.
No,
You want to assume? You're assuming that the problem
2 weeks is long enough for me.
Yeah,
why
can't you clear someone in 2 weeks?
Because they go to the bottom of the pile. That's the problem. Is there's so many of this.
Why don't they hire more people so they don't have a massive-ass pile?
Exactly. That's the problem.
It's stupid.
It's absolutely dumb. It's absolutely dumb. We're at a point
where... Okay, well, let's stop there. Stop there. You can stop there. Stop there. Here's my question with Penny. This is, by the way, I guess this is the point I'd like to make about Penny. I think he's probably made huge mistakes. We may find out. Heck, Jason Ajam once had me on, and Jason tried to box me in to say I was calling Penny a cheater. And what I was basically saying was that I think everybody does cheat at some level. So, if something else comes out about Penny, something else comes out about Penny. But my view is that Penny reacts the way he does because it's not out of quote-unquote arrogance, which is what people say. I think it's indignation. I really do think that when Penny says he wants to just help he's not just helping every kid, but he's got money, that kid needs money. I think Penny thinks the NCAA is ridiculous and evil, right? And I think that's what he's reacting out of. I know my language was overwrought when I talk about Tiananmen Square and about what, but I do think that's...
Yeah, that was a little aggressive.
A little much.
But it's the same point. It's like, I'm going to back my guys. It's that. I don't think I'm playing the race card. I think it exists in how people see the world. I think if you're Penny, you see this organization of white men who's trying to say, I can't do this for a black teenager. I suspect that is how you look at it. Clearly the language is aggressive in that way, but I don't think, I think it's, I think he's just disgusted by it, honestly. Don't you? I don't know. What do you think is motivating Penny to do the way, the rhetoric that he uses on this instance and the position he's taken?
Yeah, I think, and I'm not going to go into that. Right. I don't want to go in
That's
that
fine.
Whole side.
That's fine. Go wherever
but
you
want to go. I'll just say this. Don't you think Penny knows about the inner workings of how all these, the whole dark side of the NCAA works? You know, he's had these kids on his AAU team. I'm sure he's had universities approach the kids that have played for him who have been cheating, right? He has seen all of this take place. So he knows that the rules are total BS. And, like, I think I agree with you. I think that he thinks that the rules are total BS. And that he's always thought that, and he's been around it for years now. Why would he think any different? I do think that's the case. And it doesn't mean you don't follow him.
No.
You still have to follow him.
He sounds ridiculous when he says he doesn't read the rule book. Like, that's ridiculous. He looks ridiculous when he says that.
Right. You still have to follow those rules, but I'm sure it's challenging when you see everybody else breaking them.
How do you think, Jonah, this team is going to be if it is 12 games? So 10 more.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough for them to get in there without James. I mean, you saw last night they started a little slow. I think Penny needs to figure out who his best five are without James, and I think that's a little bit tough. And I think that may include just putting Precious at center, which I don't think Drew, has he wanted to do that, really? Has he wanted to play Precious at center?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's maybe your best lineup with EJ in there. But
do you believe, Drew, that they didn't know last night? People are saying it's ridiculous. But they seemed surprised. We played the audio. Here's the audio again from and this isn't the first audio. The first audio is even more revealing, where they literally, like, what are you talking about? Like, but it seems inconceivable that they didn't know.
Seems
they're
like,
on their phones.
It seems like
it's just a way of avoiding the questions?
Yeah, because just the reaction that Precious gave, I don't know, tell me. Enlighten me.
Let me listen. Do you want to hear it again?
Questions for DJ. So you guys aren't aware of the NCAA ruling?
No, ma'am. I don't do this.
Are you guys interested in that?
Yeah, absolutely. What happened?
Okay. So, like James has got a 12-game suspension. What do you guys, how do you guys want to react to that?
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, crazy. Crazy. Can't wait for that to be over.
I mean,
can't wait for it to be over.
At the end of the day, I don't know if we can control that.
Anyway.
Or we just going to have to play.
There you have that.
Doesn't that come across as sarcasm a little bit?
I guess the first question does, they look genuinely surprised in the first question. But I don't know. Who knows? It seems inconceivable that they wouldn't know. They live on their phones, right? We all live on our phones. Who's the best player on this team without James?
I mean, it's DJ and Precious. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
You got to choose. You got to choose.
I said best player.
Best player. Oh, sorry. I thought you said best player.
You think it's someone from the NCAA, Jonah.
Oh, my gosh. Don't say that. People are being mean to me.
I'm just kidding. Be nice to Jonah. He's just a truth teller.
I'm going DJ right now because he's really impressed me.
What's the answer, Drew?
I agree. I think DJ. But I don't know. Precious did look better last night. I'll say that. DJ kind of saved him.
Really,
yeah, I know. Precious had 12 rebounds, and DJ
to me,
it's kind of. But DJ's been awesome. They've both been awesome.
Should DJ be starting?
Oh yeah.
Yes, but right now it's working off the bench. So why change it?
I think a big thing for Precious, it's not his fault really. I think a big thing for him will be to against those bigger teams, against not Arkansas, Little Rock, but against not whoever CBU. Memphis has to be better at getting the ball into the paint, has to be better at swinging the ball and getting the ball into him when he's posted up or on the move towards the basket for us to really see how good he can be. I think that is a big key going forward. It's something they really need, even when James comes back, something they really need to get better at.
Doesn't some of that come to shooting to open up the floor? And are we really willing now to say that shooting is a problem, Drew?
I'm at the point where now it's hard to consider it a slump. Like, they need to...
The last time they hit shots was in the Bahamas.
They can't break a zone is the problem. These teams are just packing it in and going zone, and they can't make enough outside shots to get them out of zone, and it makes it tough on the guys like DJ and Precious, who are, because they're so versatile, they've been able to score. They've been their best scoring options. Man, they need the shooting to come around pretty bad. Otherwise, these teams are just going to pack it in and tell you, beat us any other way.
One of the unfortunate things about this James Wiseman situation, this saga, is that it has diverted our attention from the Memphis football team, which happens to be 9-1, playing at South Florida this week, on track for, listen, there's all kinds of drama with the basketball program. The football program is simply on track for its best season ever, an historic season. Mike Norvell says he's worried about South Florida,
no,
but he's worried about every game.
Worried.
Not worried, but basically said, if we don't play well, we're going to get our ass beat.
Yes. I mean,
do you believe that?
He was a little frustrated yesterday.
Yeah, what was that about? Everyone said it was a bad practice.
I think it was partially there were things in the practice that frustrated him that really, really frustrated him. Just those small things, dropping passes, guys not doing what they're supposed to be doing, things that they've been doing all season long. So just small things that really, really bug him, and it just kind of mounted up, and he just didn't enjoy the practice. And I think he really wants to fire him up. He wants to fire these guys up because it is a trap game. You're going to an away game before your biggest game of the season because the Cincinnati game is bigger at this point than the SMU game. You're going to Tampa. You're going against one of the best defenses you've played this season, a team that almost beat Cincinnati. They're trying to save Charlie Strong's job. It's a risky game.
Has Brady had any moment in which he said, I told you so.
No.
You eat your words, you haters out there.
He shows you a display.
Listen, everyone is saying, I told you so now. Didn't Brady get a shot today? I told you so, right?
I've tried. No, Brady.
People are at the point where they're getting annoyed with me and Jonah.
Oh, yeah, they're so mad at me.
Where are you, haters? Yeah, where are you?
Like, I'm done with asking where the haters are. I'm done.
It's old now.
It's old. It's over. I think I finally got my – I kind of kept it in my system and let Drew do it. And then at Houston, I was just like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to tell everybody.
It's done now. Like, it's so many. He's had so many good games that how many times can you say, where are the haters now?
Right. And I've been really annoying about that. I can admit it.
Yeah, you have. You're so annoying.
What's the responses you get?
A lot of people like it, but at the same time, there are some people that's like, all right, enough already.
Yeah. Didn't you at one point ask, you said, if any of you want to come forth and ask for absolution and confess – that you were ready to grant absolution.
69 people. A very nice 69 people came forth.
Nice.
and they said, I have sinned.
I forgive me for I hath hated.
I mean, I get more people now who are like, shut up. You know what we meant. That
no, I
at
know.
The time,
I know exactly what they meant.
Yeah, and I'm.
Here's what they think they meant, and I'll tell you what they actually meant. What they say they meant now is, well, he had a bad game. What's wrong with saying he had a bad game?
Yeah.
We just said he had a bad game. That's not what they meant.
Yeah.
What they
or
meant.
Or what they
the
were saying. Well,
that's not what they were saying. What they were saying was he should be benched. A. Or B, he sucks and will never be good enough to win.
I got a lot.
He will never
be good.
There was a lot of he will never. It wasn't he had a bad game. That would be very – I didn't see any of that. Boy,
no.
I believe in Brady, but, man, he's having a rough game. That's not what people were saying.
I got a few of those of, oh, man, this is brutal.
What they were mostly saying was he is terrible, will always be terrible, and should either be benched or sent back to California on a rocket ship, basically. and that Mike Norvell is favoring him because he likes him and chased away other quarterbacks who should be starting instead of Brady. And it is the happiest story of this fall that Brady White is lighting it up.
I think that Mike Norvell
is... Why is he so much better, by the way?
Why?
I mean, he is so much better. Like, even me, and I was a defender, didn't think he was...
Confident.
Elite, which he has been over the last few weeks.
It's confidence. A lot of people have said at the beginning of the year, he just had the yips. Had the yips a little bit. In that the offensive line wasn't great. He wasn't playing with the amount
of
confidence.
Was it a lot like Tiananmen Square?
I wouldn't say that.
Was it just like Tiananmen Square?
No, I don't think
he was like the guy. He was the guy in Tiananmen Square, and the haters the haters were in the tank, and they were running over Brady White. You guys were nice to come in. Did I mention that if you ever get engaged, Robert Owen Jewelers is the place to go, Joan. To tell Addie that I sent you directly there, Drew. You've got to find someone first.
Yeah.
But if you do, we can fix you up at Robert Owen Jewelers. The phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. When we return, we're going to talk to Steve White in the second segment, but the first segment is turned over to y'all. We will talk to you about the James Wiseman situation. Anything you want to say, get off your chest, ask, whatever else, Have at it. 535-3776. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Enter 92.9's ATC Fitness College Football Pickoff. Weekly winners get a four-month free premium membership to ATC Fitness. And one grand prize winner gets a $500 gift card to Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool. $500 in gift cards to Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. And a master-built digital smoker from 92.9ESPN.com.
Here's an equation you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.